Now may the words of my lips, the meditation of each of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We listen to a few words from Psalm 55. And many people believe this was a psalm written by David himself. And as we look at the psalm, he is surrounded by enemies and he feels betrayed by one of his closest friends. But despite all those troubles around him, his faith in God stood firm. We heard in those opening words, "As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress." Despite his situation, he still had his faith in God. Last week we began our Lenten series on prayer. We were looking at prayer and what it means to be immersed in prayer. And this evening we continue looking at prayer and looking at prayer as a rhythm of prayer, or prayer as a rule of life. We read there that David said he prayed evening, morning, and noon. That was his rhythm of prayer at that time. Now, whether he followed that rhythm throughout his life, we don't know, but certainly during that time of distress, he prayed to God three times a day. The concept of a rule of life, you probably know that it comes from the tradition of the religious orders. And in each order has its own rule of life, its prayer rule, and they will differ from community to community. And so the question is, should we ourselves as Christians have a rhythm of prayer, a rule of prayer to guide us and to deepen our spiritual lives? It will be very much a personal one because our life situation, the gifts we have, the particular calling we have will all be different. But I think the Bible makes it clear that we ought to have some rhythm, some rule to guide us in our prayers. In Romans chapter 12, Paul speaks these words, using a Message translation. It says this: "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." In other words, each day, whatever we're doing, however ordinary that life may seem, whatever we're doing at that different times of day, offer them to God and make that a discipline that we follow. I came across a little book called Monastic Mumblings, and written by a monk in a monastic community, and writing about a rule of life, he spoke these words. He says, "A rule of life is simply a structure in which spiritual formation is facilitated. The Latin term regular comes from the word we get regulation." He goes on, "I know most modern Christians don't like to think of rules constraining them, but each person's own rule regulates their life in a way they see that helps them grow. It should be something you yearn to do. It's a tool for growth, not a pair of steel shackles." I thought they were interesting words that encouraging us in our own life to have a rule, just to guide us. But particularly this evening, we're thinking about a rule when it comes to prayer. There's far more we could say about having a general rule of life, but for these few minutes, we're just thinking about prayer. Now, you might be one of those amazing prayer warriors who says, well, why are we having a series on prayer? Prayer is quite straightforward. It's just talking to God. And I do that throughout the day. Why do we need sermons? Well, good for you. But for most of us, I suspect, and certainly for myself, it's not quite as easy as that. If I were to ask a professional tennis player, can you help me to improve my tennis? And if you saw me playing tennis, you would know it needs a lot of improvement. And the player says, oh, well, you just hit the ball. Well, that's not very helpful. And so to say, well, you just say the word, you just pray. That might not be very helpful either. This morning I was preaching here on the same subject at 10 o'clock, and I offered a sort of a 10 tips as to how we might get some structure to our prayer life. I'm not going to go through those this evening, but there is a little handout, and if you feel you'd like some structure to your prayer life, then do take one of these little sheets at the end. I was reminded in that gospel reading how Jesus, early in the day, went away on his own and prayed to God. And it seemed to me that if we find a specific place to pray, maybe somewhere in our own home, it may be outside, but a specific place to pray at a specific time each day, then that will begin to help us get some discipline into our lives. Because there's so many distractions, aren't there? So many things which stop us developing our prayer life. But a place and a time are a great way to start. Of course, prayer isn't just about talking to God. It's talking with God. And any conversation has to be two-way. It's one of the big disadvantages of sermons. I stand here and I know that you're not likely to interrupt me. You might want to sometimes, but we're good Anglicans and we listen faithfully and patiently. But prayer isn't about that, is it? Prayer isn't just me talking to God. It's a dialogue, and any good dialogue is two-way. So we pray about putting ourselves, as it were, at God's disposition. And it's about listening to him as much as talking with him. I read a little story about a man called Joshua Bell. He's one of the world's leading violinists. And he's played throughout the world at many of the leading concert halls. And the story is that a few years ago, he took his violin, a Stradivarius, and he went to a metro station in Washington, USA. It was during the rush hour. And he turned up just in jeans, a long-sleeved T-shirt, and a baseball cap. And he started to play his violin. During those 45 minutes that he played, 1,097 people passed by. But only seven stopped to listen for a minute or more. Of course, they had good reasons. They were going to work. They were coming from work. They had this to do. They had that to do. Good reasons. But they missed out on listening to this great violinist. They could have just stopped and listened. And I wonder whether we miss out on what God is wanting to say to us because our lives are so busy, too busy. And we just need to stop and listen. Ignatius Loyola lived over 400 years ago. And he believed that God had given what he called the daily examen. And he thought this was a gift from God to be used. And he set up the Jesuit order. And he didn't have many rules about prayer, but he did tell the people in the community they should twice a day at noon and near the end of the day practice the examen. And it's still used by Jesuits and many other Christians today. I'll just give a brief summary of what it's about, because I think this may be helpful to us to get again some structure, some rhythm to our prayer life. It's been suggested it's like sitting on a sofa and imagining Jesus sitting next to you, and you've got a video player and you're going through what's happened in the past day. And from time to time, Jesus said, oh, just stop there. What was happening there? Why did you get angry at that point? And Ignatius said, as we do that, then we want to begin with thanksgiving. How has God shown his love to you in the past day? What have you to be thankful for? It may be something very simple. Just coming from Epsom this evening, started a suddenly pour down, but within a few minutes it stopped, and just over Epsom was this beautiful rainbow. It wasn't a full rainbow, but just a half rainbow. And it just made me so thankful, reminded me of God's great promise given to us. Maybe it's the smell of freshly roasted coffee. Maybe a kind word spoken by a friend or a colleague. Something maybe very simple, but we say, thank you to God. And then he said, well, then you say to God, you know, what are the experiences of this past day that you want to sort of draw my attention to? What are the things where maybe I didn't quite get it right? Maybe I got a little bit angry. Maybe something that puzzled me. Maybe a time of real joy. And just allow God to point out those different parts of the day. Then he said, we then respond. Probably there'll be confession, because we realize that we messed up some of the day. Maybe it will be thanksgiving, as we say, there really are things to say thank you to God today. And maybe we commit ourselves that we're going to try to change that particular behavior. And then finally he said, offer the next day into God. What may be God asking you to do differently? Just offer your life into God's care. People who follow that rule of prayer, that rhythm of prayer, many people say it makes a great difference to my experience of God, and it has developed my relationship with him. It's drawn me closer to God. So I, as it were, challenge each one of us. And maybe during this Lenten period, we're into the second week now, so if we don't start on something soon, it'll be gone, and we'll be celebrating Easter, which is wonderful. But here's a challenge. I put it very much to myself, that we do this little exercise towards the end of the day, maybe just to start for 5 or 10 minutes, needn't be a long period of time, and just go back on the day with Jesus and see what he wants to say to us. And whatever we do in the way of prayer, whatever rhythm we have, we do it so we may see Jesus more clearly, that we may love him more dearly, and that we may follow him more nearly, day by day.